have the Mishnah open in front of me. The Mishnah says in the fifth parak of Avos that there were 10 miracles that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. Number one, Lo hipila isha me'reach basar kodesh, that a woman never had a miscarriage from the smell, from the desirable smell of the meat, of the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash. Velo yisriach basar kodesh me'olam, and the sacrificial meat of the Beis HaMikdash never spoiled, which is pretty amazing if you think about the weather in the Beis HaMikdash. The temperature in Eretz Yisrael, it wasn't refrigerated, and yet the meat never spoiled in the processing of the karbanos. There was never a fly. Imagine with all the animal parts and blood, there was never a fly flying around the slaughtering area of the Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohen Gadol never saw a seminal emission on the night of Yom Kippur. The fire of the Mizbeach was never extinguished by the Geshamim, by the rain. More than that, Lo Nitzcha Ruach Es Amar Ashan, the wind never blew this pillar of smoke rising from the Mizbeach straight to Shemayim. Velo Nimtza Psul Ba'Omer V'Shtei Alechem V'Alechem Apanim, and a disqualifier was never found in the Omer, or in the Shtei Alechem of Shuas, or in the Lechem Apanim. They would stand tzfufim, they would stand shoulder to shoulder, and yet when it was time to bow down, the mikdash expanded, there was room to bow. A snake and a scorpion never caused damage in Yerushalayim. And no one ever, lastly, no one ever said to his friend, Tzar li hamakom sha'alin b'Yerushalayim. It's too crowded for me to sleep in Yerushalayim. There's always room for people in Yerushalayim. Okay? So let's delve into to some of these nekudos. Okay, let's start with Lo Eira Keri LeKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur. Here on page Shin Mem Beis. Lo Eira Keri LeKohen Gadol B'Yom HaKippur. So he gives us two interpretations. They're both interesting. They're both important. Pershu Mafarshim. Mafarshim explain. Ki B'Yom Kippur Hu Yom HaKedusha V'Yesh Kina LaOlamos HaTahu. What's the chiddush? That the Kohen Gadol, that the holiest Jew on the holiest day, didn't become a Baal Keri? Is that really such a chiddush? And the answer is yes, because the Kohen Gadol is under tremendous opposition on that day. There's a jealousy. Yom Kippur is a day of such kedusha that there's a kina of the Olamos HaTohu. Umizeh hayayachol lesavev shiyara eiza mikra leKohen Gadol v'nasa neis v'lohaya. That because this world is being so, you know, so much scrutinized, and on the one hand, you know, all the realms are jealous of the opportunity that we're given to enter into that space of kedusha on Yom Kippur. So yes, even though it's you'd say, what do you mean? It's like it's not so. It shouldn't be such a miracle. This is again, these are 10 miracles. It shouldn't be such a miracle that the Kohen Gadol doesn't become a Baal Keri on Yom Kippur. But again, there's such holiness to the day that it's being challenged from other kochos, that in fact it takes nothing less than a nace to protect the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. Because Yom Kippur is such a remarkable day, the opposition to it is very strong. And that's something to keep in mind. Sometimes a person, you know, wonders that, like, why dafka in an opportunity for great kedushas or sometimes great tumah. And that's the answer. That's the answer. The opportunity itself is under attack. Another way to say it, he says, oh yeah, Amar, you could say the following. That there was no carry for the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur doesn't just mean that he didn't become a Baal Keri, but it meant that what? That the Avodas Yom HaKippurim cannot be approached b'derech mikra. You can't approach the Avodas Yom HaKippurim, you know, by chance, through happenstance. Rak b'machshava zaka uchsheira l'avodas Hashem yisborach v'yisale. Now again, you'll tell me, who in the right mind approaches Yom HaKippurim without preparation? But the truth is, you know, things are sometimes busy, and we all know that Yom Kippur is important, but what does it mean to really prepare for Yom HaKippurim? So again, one of the miracles was that the Kohen Gadol was able to be laser-focused on Yom HaKippurim, to prepare himself, and that nothing that he did on Yom Kippur was what? Was being figured out, so to speak, on the fly. Nothing was mikra. Nothing just happened. Everything was premeditated. And again, if a person wants to live a life of Kedusha and Tara. So the more that one is better prepared, the more successful one will be. Okay, the Mishnah said that one of the miracles is that Lo Kivu HaGeshamim Eish Shal Atzei Ma'aracha, that the rain would not put out the fire of the Atzei HaMa'aracha, of the fires of the wood that was burning on top of the Mizbeach. But explains the Kashrus Ramagid, a beautiful Vart. He says that Eitz, Atzei Ma'aracha, Eitz of course means wood or trees, but it also means what? Lashon Eitzah HaYa'utza. Eitz is the lashon of Eitzah, of advice. Sha'adam Michashev Umisbonein Tamid Eich La'avod Esbor Yisbarach Shema. Eitzah means what? The advice, the contemplation again that a person has to figure out, how do I serve Hashem? Not to always be, you know, not to always be haphazard about one's avodas Hashem. I went to pay a shiva call at the Morris family yesterday in our neighborhood, and one of the things that was being passed around is Donnie Morris, Olav Shalom's schedule from yeshiva in Shalavim. And I know it's making its way around Twitter as well. And to see a young man to have, you know, his whole day, 7 days a week scheduled and calculated, is an unbelievable thing. A person who's mitchashev, right? Is mitchashev umisponein. A person who's thinking deeply about how can I serve Hashem to the best of my abilities. So lo kivu hageshamim eish al atzei ma'aracha. So again, eitz is an eitzah. Eitz is guidance. Eitz is a plan of how I want to what, how I want to serve Hashem. Vizeo, and that's what it means. Va'aracha love eitzim baboker. It says you should arrange upon the mizbeach the wood, the firewood, each morning. Sha'akoen ha'yitzarech b'chol yom l'sader osan ha'itzos v'machshavos kedoshos she'avod behem esboro kol yom. When a person wakes up in the morning, when he says kohen, but he means kohen means an oved, kohen means a worker for Hashem. So any Jew who works for Hashem, when he wakes up in the morning, he needs to be mesader, so to speak, his eitzos. He needs to be mesader his ideas. What are my goals for the day? Where's my list of things that I'm trying to accomplish today? What am I working on? Where do I need to be and when? Right? And again, sometimes in life, schedules change and responsibilities change. But where? What are my goals? What are my commitments? Rav Chaim Kanievsky has his, you know, his daily learning schedule, his what he calls his chovos, his obligations to himself. So what are our obligations to ourselves? What are our obligations to Klal Yisrael? What are the eitzos? What are the machshavos that I've prepared to serve Hashem with today? And the Mishnah says that one of the things in the Beis HaMikdash that was remarkable is that the geshamim, the rain, didn't extinguish the fire. But based on what we're explaining, lo kivu ha-geshamim means, vatsalomar, osan dvarim ha-gashmiyim. Geshamim means the gashmias of my life doesn't take away from the fact that I have goals and I have ideas and I have things that I'm striving for. So when I mess up my lunch and my lunch doesn't come out as good as I wanted it to be, right? Or I'm a little bit tired because I ended up not getting enough sleep. So the needs of my body, the gashmias, doesn't, if I'm really locked into what I want to do, what I want to accomplish, then the gishamim is not going to extinguish, the gashmias is not going to extinguish that drive, that organized arrangement of the eights, of my machshavos, so what I want to accomplish. Kibo lemikdash kama anashim. Now let's put it back in the context of Beis HaMikdash. Kibo lemikdash kama anashim levakish al hitzarchusam. Obviously, people would come to the Beis HaMikdash with all sorts of mundane needs in mind. Kol echad mashetzarech. He would want to come talk to the Kohen. The Kohen was the teacher of Klal Yisrael. The Kohen was the Rebbe also. So he wanted to come to speak to his Rebbe, to his Kohen, to tell him about all of his problems. And the Kohanim were able to help people with their, you know, financial needs, with their emotional needs, with their physical needs. And at the same time, it didn't stop the Kohanim from their avoda. They were able to, at the same time, help people with their mundane needs, and at the same time, to be mesudar, to be organized in the eitzos, on top of the mizbeach, so to speak, to maintain their connection to Hashem. And that's why the Mishnayos and the Gemaras describe these two logs that were added to the fire. Eitza achas sheavod bo esbore kol hayom, ve'eitza ashniya letzar chasolam. What are the two logs, the two eitzos, so to speak, that are placed on top of the Mizbeach? One represents being totally focused on whatever it is to serve Hashem, to be connected to Hashem, and one is to be able to be laser focused on the needs of others. Lemalos mishalos sam, lases lahem eitza hoganes. To be able to take, you know, away from my connection to Hashem, to be able to focus on others, and then to be able to come back to Hashem. I'm reminded of something that the Tribuner Rav said about his admiration for the Chazon Ish. The Tribuner Rav, if you don't know who that is, you'll Google him, Rav Dov Beresh Wiedenfeld, a great tzaddik, a great Talmud Chacham, the author of the Sefer Dovev Meisharim, Shalos and Tshuvos. He had heart attacks on several occasions because of his pain that he felt when hearing about the tzaras of others. And he said, I was jealous of the Chazon Ish, that the Chazon Ish had the ability to be with people in a real way, and at the same time, to cry with them, to feel their pain, and then to be able to go back to what? To whatever sugya he was learning. The Tribuner Rav says, when I heard people's pain, when I felt their pain, I couldn't function after that. And he said it was a ma'ila of the Chazon Ish, that he could truly be in both places. That when he's with the person who's suffering, when he's helping a person with their mundane needs, he's very much there. He's not working on the Rambam, or that line in the Gemara, the Tosfos at that time. And then he's able to, when he's done with those individuals, he's able to reinsert himself, right? The other, you know, of the two beams that are placed on top of the Mizbeach, these two Gizrei Eitzim. So he was able to return to, so to speak, the connection directly to Hashem. And that's a remarkable thing. The Tribuner Rav said he didn't understand how the Chazon Ish's heart was big enough to encapsulate those two sometimes, you know, opposite feelings. But that was the greatness of the Chazon Ish. And the Tribuner Rav said I was envious of his ability to do such a thing. Okay? One of the miracles was Omdim Tzvufim Umishtachavim Ravachim, that they stood in the Beis HaMikdash, shoulder to shoulder, and yet when it came time to bow down, they were able to have a lot of space. What's interesting about this is that is it possible for a person to be standing shoulder to shoulder and at the same time spread out enough to bow down? Obviously, that's a miracle. So explains the Kashrus Magid, Iker Heshtachavaya Hu Kriyas HaMachshava V'Halev. It's important to realize that bowing before Hashem is not something you do with your body. I mean, you may also do it with your body, and there was actual bowing on the floor that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. But being bowed before Hashem is a state of mind. I don't have to walk around necessarily all day hunched over to be emotionally in the presence of Hashem in a way that I'm bent before Hashem. By contemplating the greatness of Hashem. I may need to, you know, to carry myself a little bit more uplifted, right? But I have to also know with humility that I'm in the presence of Hashem at all times. There's a way to be bowed down, even while I'm standing. You understand why that's a contradiction, that expression? That every koma, that all who stand before you should bow. So am I standing or am I bowing? When I'm bowing before a king of flesh and blood, the way that I give honor to him is by actual floor, but you could be somewhere very far from me. What I want is what? I want the submission, the bittul, the connection of your mind. It's possible for a person to be sitting at a business meeting, closing a deal, right? And while he's sitting, you know, he's not slouched over. That would be inappropriate for the environment in which he finds himself. But in his heart, it's with a tremendous sense of bittul to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, with humility. His heart is humbled before Hashem. That's what the Tana is telling us here in this Mishnah. That the Beis HaMikdash was a place where you felt the presence of Hashem in such a way that even when you were omdim tzvufim, that even when you were standing side by side with your fellow Jew, it was part of the experience of Beis HaMikdash that one was able to, so to speak, bow down in a very expansive way, Ratzolomar shenirvach v'nisrachev libam v'nisale b'avodas habore uvalahem ha'ara gedola. To be able, again, to carry oneself erect, and at the same time, to be able to put oneself out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, that was part of the miraculous experience of the Beis HaMikdash. Because most of the time, if you're bowing, bowing takes place with your body. But here in the Beis HaMikdash, they were able to, again, to attain this level of connection that they were able to feel humbled in the presence of Hashem, and at the same time, almost to be empowered by the experience in Beis HaMikdash, to be able to stand erect. And different tzaddikim have echoed this idea. You know, it's possible to scream without making a sound, right? It's possible to bow without bowing down. You know, there's different nuschos of different things that people can do without doing it outwardly. Right? I could be screaming to Hashem in my mind, like Rabbi Nachman talks about, other tzaddikim talk about, without actually opening my mouth. Okay, one of the other miracles of Beis HaMikdash, we'll do one more, is that V'lo Amar Adam Lechaveiro Tzar Li HaMakom Sha'alin B'Yerushalayim. No one said to his friend, it's too crowded to sleep in Yerushalayim. I can't get all the hotels are booked, there's nowhere to stay, there's no place for myself in Yerushalayim. Okay, it's never too crowded, we can get everyone to sleep, to spend time together, to find a place to dwell in Yerushalayim. No one complained, right? So some say the pshat of the Mishnah is it was very crowded, but no one complained, right? That's the nace, that it was crowded, but no one complained, right? But the pashut pshat is that no one ever said it was too crowded. There was always room. How is there always room? Listen to how he interprets the Mishnah. Aderach shaperish marina rav hakadosh rav dov ber zatzal. He quotes the Magid of Mezrich. Again, we've seen this idea a little bit. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos. Right, when Hillel is asked to teach the Torah while standing on one foot, Hillel sums up the Torah as saying, "Mai da Allah sonei lachavrach lo sa'avid, ze kol haTorah kula." Mai da Allah sonei, what to you is hated or despised, don't do to your friend. That's the entire Torah, and the rest is commentary. Ulechora shaper yitzdak ze ala mitzvah shebein adam lachavero. So I understand how that is an answer on bein adam lachavero. Right, don't do to someone else what you wouldn't want done to you. Aval bein adam lamakom eich yitzdak ze. But Hillel, how is the entirety of the Torah bein adam lamakom encapsulated in that teaching? What does that mean? Now Rashi writes on the spot that Hashem is also called your friend. So don't do to Hashem what you wouldn't want done to you. Right. So it could be both bein adam lachavero and bein adam lamakom, but it's a little harder to understand. So explains the Magid of Mezrich, Ach be'emes hu k'peirusho. Here's the pshat. Ma da'alach sonei, that which to you is despised, l'chavrach lo savid. Ratzolomar, l'hischabruscha l'kadosh baruch hu, ze lo ta'avod. That which is damaging to your connection to Hashem, don't do. Don't do that. Raktasa kol shal yidei ma'isazet tucha l'schaber l'kadosh baruch hu. Right? However, ask yourself, do the things that I do bring me closer to Hashem, or do they cause me to be disconnected from Hashem? Uve'em is zohi kol haTorah kula. And again, this is the entirety of the Torah, as we learned already in Parak Gimel. Being connected to Hashem, dveikus by Hashem. That's the underpinnings of kol haTorah kula. And that's what it means in our Mishnah here. With regard to chaveiro, with regard to his connection to Hashem, no one said shatzar, shehu ayetzer hara meitzer lo. No one complained and said the yetzer hara is too strong. I can't stay connected to Hashem. Rather, hamakom lalun biYerushalayim. Rather, people developed an attitude where they said, "What? It is possible. There is a way to find a space to dwell in Yerushalayim. I can be connected to hamakom, which is, of course, the name of Hashem, through Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim, we know, stands for what? Yira and Shlemus. Rakol echad shayarotza hayayochol bekal laavod ulischaber laHashem biYiru veShlemus." In other words, don't make excuses. I can't be connected to Hashem. It's too hard. There's too much tsar. Lo amar adam lechaveiro. Don't say about your chibur to Hashem, tsar li, it's too hard for me. the Yetzer is too strong for me. Rather, Hamakom Sha'alin B'Yerushalayim. Rather, have a Yerushalayim, have Yiras Shemayim, and believe that you can find the space by Hashem. Don't convince yourself that you can't find a space by Hashem. And again, when a Jew came to Beis HaMikdash, remember the context of our Mishnah, when a Jew would come to the Beis HaMikdash, he was empowered in this way. He felt that I can be, when I'm in Yerushalayim, when I'm in Beis HaMikdash, I feel that sense of Yarei Shalem, that I'm able to really be completely connected to Hashem, and I'm not threatened by the attacks of the Yetzer Hara. I don't feel that the Yetzer Hara is making it impossible for me to dwell by Hashem, to live in Hashem's midst. There's no such thing. Okay? Let's jump ahead quite a bit. We'll do two more really important pieces. Okay? Let's take a look at Mishnah Tazayin. Kol Ava V'chulu. Okay? Let me read you the whole Mishnah for a second. Again, it may not be Mishnah Tazayin in all editions. Mishnah says the following. Kol Ava Shehi Tluya B'davar. Any love that is dependent upon something, Batel Davar Batela Ava. So let's say you love, you know, a certain relationship because that person provides you with X, Y, or Z. So if they stop providing that X, Y, or Z, so then the love will be lost. So an Ava that's dependent upon something, as if the something is Batel, then the love is going to be Batel. But a real Ava, an Ava She'ina Tluya B'davar, pure love, true love, Eina Batela La'olam, is never going to be Batel. If the love is based on something, so the Mishnah gives an example. The Mishnah says, what's an example of Ava Tluya B'davar? Avas Amnon V'Tamar. Right? Amnon and Tamar. Amnon was obsessed with Tamar's beauty. Eventually, if you remember the story from the Navi, he takes advantage of her, and then he loses interest in her. Right? So that was a very cheap type of love. He was attracted to her physical body. And once he had been with her in that way, so he was no longer interested in her. V'she'ena tluya b'davar, what is true love, a true, deep love, a friendship that is not dependent upon any particular thing, zo avas David v'Yonasan. It was like the deep, deep companionship, the friendship of David and Yehonasan. And again, you see the self-sacrifice that Yehonasan makes to protect David from his father. Okay, so let's see. Explains the Kazus to Magid. Ha'inyin romez al avas habore yisbarach. Let's talk about this love as it manifests in our relationship with Hashem. K'sha'adam oyves Hashem yisbarach machmas rov tuv hamashpilo. If a person loves Hashem because of the goodness that Hashem gives him, ein za'ava gemura v'nitzchis. That is not true, absolute love. As one of my rabbeim likes to say, Hashem is not a giant ATM machine in the sky, where you go to Hashem and you say, give me this, give me that, and as long as Hashem gives it to you, I love you, Hashem. So what happens when life is rough? Can you still say, in Shema, ve'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshem, b'chol modecha, can I love Hashem with all of my heart and all of my soul at a time where I feel that Hashem is not giving me what I need? When I lost the job, when I lost the relationship, when I see the tzaras of Klal Yisrael, is my Ahava based on what Hashem is giving me? Because that's not a real lasting love. Because Machmas she'im batel hadavar tis batel ha'ava. As we see, right? When Hashem stops, you know, when my business starts to collapse, my business was booming. Oh, Baruch Hashem, everything's great. Now all of a sudden my business is collapsing and I have all these questions on God. So you didn't really love God, you loved making money. And you were willing to acknowledge God when it was working out for you. That's not an Ava, that's a true Ava. It's not an Ava that transcends specific things. Aval tzarech ha'odem le'ahov es habor yisbarach bilti shum siba ha'mevi alo. Zos ha'ava. The goal is to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a way that transcends any particular siba, any particular reason for that Ava. Kamo sha'amar ha'kasav, like we say, v'yavta. Eis Hashem Elokecha b'chol me'odecha. To love HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just with all our heart and all of our soul, but with all of our ma'od. You know what that means? The Gemara says in Brachos, Nun Dalid, b'chol mida u'mida shumodeh lach. Right? It's actually Mishnah. With every mida that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with you. In other words, whatever Hashem sends your way, do you love Him? Or you only love Him when it works out for you? If you only love Hashem when it works out for you, then you're really missing something. You're really missing something. You know what you're missing? You're missing true love. Va'ava kazu ein shum siba hamunaz zos ha'ava. But an ava like this, where I love Hashem in good times and bad times, that's real love. Until you have a fight, you know, Mirat Hashem, when you start dating and the relationship's going well, until you have like some type of, you know, setback, you don't really know how strong the relationship is. You don't really know the strength and the fortitude of your relationship, of your marriage, until you go through difficult things together. Right? So the same thing is true in our relationship with Hashem. When Hashem is giving me everything that I want and doing things on my terms, and then you say, well, I love Hashem. Yeah, Hashem's amazing. Hashem's amazing to me. Yeah, okay. But that's not a real love. Then you just love yourself. Then you love the things that Hashem is giving you. An ava that is built on an ava that what? To love Hashem b'chol me'odecha, b'chol mida umida, shu mode lecha, in whatever way that Hashem interacts with you. Right? Such a love, again, an ava kazo ain trum siba hamonazo sa'ava. There's nothing in the world that could take away such a love. Rak tomid davak v'Hashem yizbarach, v'hi ava she'ain lasof. This is the infinite love that we're supposed to develop with Hashem. V'zeka amar eina b'teila la'olam. What does it mean that a love that, again, is based on such depth is never going to be batel la'olam? What does that mean? V'lo ka'amar olam. It didn't say eina b'teila olam. It's not batel forever. Eina b'teila le'olam. What does that mean, eina b'teila le'olam? Yeratzeh ki k'sha'odam oeves Hashem yisbarach b'chol libo ad ein sof. Because when you love HaKadosh Baruch Hu endlessly, without any if, ands, and buts, she'ein monas oso shum davar me'avas habore, that there's nothing in the world that interrupts your love for Hashem, uvechol mida umida, most of ava al avaso, and whatever Hashem does to you, say thank you Hashem. You're able to say modim and mina, thank you Hashem, for days that were really bad. Just like you said modim and mented on days that were really good. Bize ma'orer gamkin, she'Hashem yizbarach baruch hu, when you interact with Hashem in this way, Hashem tzilcha, right? What do we say? Hashem is your shadow. Hashem follows your lead. So if you say, Hashem, I am with you in good times and bad, so Hashem will do the same for you. Hashem will continue to be there for Klal Yisrael at all times. Hashem's love for us will also not be batel. And that's what it means. When you act towards Hashem with this love, then that love is eino b'teila le'olam. Not, it's not batel forever. Eino b'teila le'olam means what? Le'olam. Romez al ava shenis ora al yidei ha'adam al ha'olam. Eino b'teila le'olam. It will never be taken away from the world. If you love Hashem unconditionally, then Hashem will love Klal Yisrael back unconditionally. Chaver, that's a really deep idea. That's a really important idea. You know, when we start to question Hashem, Hashem says, you want to analyze me? I'll analyze you. I got a lot of questions on your behavior also. But when we say Hashem, we have no tainas, we have no questions, we love you endlessly, we love you when things are up, we love you when things are down. We love you when things are happy, we love you when things are sad and broken. When we are willing to love Hashem, not based on any particular thing that Hashem does for us, while at the same time acknowledging that Hashem does everything for us, right? When we love Hashem in that way, so then, eina b'teila la'olam. Then not only will your love for Hashem never break, but Hashem's love for the world, for Klal Yisrael, will be le'olam. It'll be brought upon the world, and we, halavai, we should be, you know, we should be in position in our lifetimes to say that I was the one who, because of my mature understanding of my own love for Hashem, I was able to bring Hashem's love back onto back onto the Jewish people. That would be a big thing. That would be a pretty big accomplishment in one's lifetime. Okay, last but not least, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, have oz kanamer. A person should be brazen and bold like a leopard. A person should be ratz katzvi, sorry, kal kanesher. A person should be swift like an eagle. A person should be ratz katzvi. A person should be swift and run like a deer. Gibur ka'ari, and strong like a lion. Lasos ritzon avicha shabashamayim. Ready and prepared to do the will of my Creator. Okay, so let's see. Yehuda ben Tema Omer have oz kanamer. When does a person act with brazenness? The midah of azos is usually associated with gaiva. It's usually not a good midah. The Namer is actually an animal that is associated with Yavan, one of our greatest enemies, who was known to be very haughty. So what does Rabbi Yehuda ben Tema mean when he tells us that we should be what? We should be Oz Kanamer. We should be bold and brazen like a Namer. What does that mean? Like a leopard. Ha'ininu ki kesha yetzahara ba'ala adam levatlo me'avodas Hashem yisbarach. When the Yetzahara comes to a person and tries to stop him from serving Hashem, ve'ein lo b'ma levatlo, and he sees that this guy is really passionate about his avodas Hashem, and he's having a hard time, you know, distracting him. So you know what he does? He tries to get us to be depressed. And how does the Yetzahara try to get us depressed? Az maskir lo ma'isav haram sha'asa. He reminds us of the bad things that we've done. Ba'omro eichata basa lispalo v'lavod lefnei borecha. Ve'ein lo savush mipanov l'davru davar. How are you not embarrassed to speak before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He reminds us of the things that we did. How can you talk to Hashem? Don't you remember what you did? Zechor na liyam harishonim. Don't you remember what you did? Your chavrusa didn't do that. Your Rebbe didn't do that. Your father didn't do that. Who knows? Maybe your Rebbe and your father and your chavrusa did that also when they, when they were younger. Maybe they fell into similar traps, whatever it may be. But the Yetzirah tries to convince you there's things that you've done and there's nothing you can do to undo that. And aren't you embarrassed? You should hide from Hashem. Right? Zechor na liyam harishonim har bepam asisa kach vekach viskalta aso. You did this and you did like that, and you acted in a way that was perverse and corrupt. Right? Sachel is like a lashon of like with foolishness. You acted so foolishly. Va'atam edames atzmacha ketzadik uvezem avat lo meavod aso. And now, says the Yetzirah, now all of a sudden, look at you. Look at you shuckling. Oh, tzitzis out. When did you start wearing your tzitzis out? Right? Let's go back and review some of the things you did earlier in life. And a person says, you know what? Maybe he's right. Maybe I don't deserve. Maybe I don't have a right to serve Hashem. Uvezeh romez lanu atana. Comes along Yehuda ben Tema. And by the way, this Mishnah of Yehuda ben Tema, if I'm not mistaken, if you open up the tour, the Arba Turim, if you open up the tour, to Simon Aleph, to the very first piece that he records, Lehalacha, he begins with what? He begins by quoting this. I think Kitzur Shulchan Aruch also. I think Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, at the very beginning, quotes Yehuda ben Tema's Mishnah. Let me grab a Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. The Poskim, I think, put it at the beginning of... Yeah. Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, it's not the first thing he says, but the third paragraph in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, have Oz Kanomer, Kal Kanasher, Ratzkatzvi, Gibor Kari. Why are the poskim, why are people who are organizing halacha starting off with this Mishnah? Well, from the Kashrut Tzermagis perspective, it's very obvious. Because when I want to be a nice, from Orthodox Jew who lives in accordance with halacha, there's a part of me, the Yetzirah, that comes and says, what about all the things that you don't do? What about everything you violated in the past? So the Tana says, you got to know how to respond to this type of Yetzirah. The Tana says, Yehuda ben Tema is telling us, he's reminding us, don't listen to him. Shalo tove lo, velo tishma elav. Do not be convinced by him. Do not listen to him. Velo yera levavcha klal b'za. And don't be despondent, don't be bothered by this at all. Rak ta'i is panecha. That's a time for azus. To act bold and brazen, and to say, you might have a good point, but afal pichen, I'm serving Hashem. Rak ta'iz panecha, v'tamod ba'azas u'v'tokef kol lifnei baracha. Pressure, push yourself to stand before Hashem with confidence, and not to be convinced otherwise. V'anisa v'amarta lefanav yisbarach. And to say before Hashem, I know what the Yitzhar is saying, and I'm not going to hide, I'm not going to ignore that fact. V'adai shekein hu. Lefi ma'asai, lo ayisi kedai la'am fanecha. There's no question, Hashem, the Yetzirah is standing on the side screaming, don't, Hashem, don't listen to this guy, he's a bum, he's no good. So you come before Hashem and you say the Hashem, I know what he's claiming against me, and I'm not denying it. It's all true. Ba'afal piche, nonetheless, v'atuach ani b'midas tuvcha, sha'al tishveini achur. But yet I have the confidence that Hashem, you're not going to drive me away emptied. And therefore, I pour out my request before v'asader shivchecha lefanecha, and I sing and I organize my praises before you. Ki chafatzta bi, because I know that you desire me, Hashem. Ki ata tov lakol v'rotza umrutza l'shavim v'chafetz b'tfilasam, because I know that you desire especially about tshuva, and I know you desire their tfilos, and I'm one of them. U'beprat b'yam no'ra'im. Chevra, one of the hardest days to really overcome this is during the Yom Noram itself. Ki kamo shashlosha svarim niftachim lamala. Just like the three books, the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Tezayin, are open above. Kamo kei niftachim shlosha svarim b'lev ha'adam atzmo. The three books are open in a person's heart to decide, am I a Rasha? Am I a Tzaddik? Am I a Benoni? Ki kamo shayetzar mazkir maisav lamala. Because just like the Yetzahara is trying to slander you above, maybe moirech bilvavo, machnia lavavo, mabal bil machshavto, vein lo pela hashiv. The Yetzirah is trying to cause all sorts of bilbulim, emotional stresses, uncertainties, a lack of confidence. Acha adam lo yasim zos elibo, but a person has to pay no attention to it. Rak bevo lo zos, when this comes to him, when this happens, take of yahar b'tshuva the fun of Yisbach. Say, you know what? Maybe the Yetzirah is reminding me of all these averos. Now they're fresh in my mind. I can fix them. Thank you for reminding me about that. Now I can offer it up. I can fix it right on the spot. Ki hu bochen libos uchlayos. Hashem checks my hearts. Hashem checks the heart. Hashem checks the kidneys, right, which inform one's emotions and one's intellect. Ve'yakaba alav shelo la'asos od kadavar hazeh. And say to Hashem, I'm not denying these things, but I'm also right now trying to be here, and I'm trying to overcome them, and I'm not going to do it again. V'yamod al ma'amado, and stand in your place, like we learned earlier, you can be bowed over, but you can be standing. V'yizariz atzom ma'od ma'od l'val yipo ma'achshavto, v'lo yidag al rishonos klal. Look at these very strong lishonos. Don't be bothered by it at all. Don't stumble in your mind. Don't worry about these things at all. Rather, what should you do? Kiyam b'shuva midarko b'tshuva shlemu v'leiv shalom v'fan of esbach. Just do tshuva. Take these bad feelings. You're reminded of something that you did in your past. The Yetzirah brought it to your mind, to the forefront of your mind. So now, daven over it. It's here. Don't pretend it's not here. And don't say, oh, it's here and therefore I can't daven. Daven over it. Fix it. Kihu yodeya machshavos adam v'sar avono v'chatoso yichupar. Because Hashem knows your thoughts and Hashem will work with you. To what? To cleanse it, to remove that chait, and to be mechaper for that shortcoming. And then the Yetzirah will no longer even have the tools to try to slander you. And the essence of tshuva is to try to feel in a real way, I'm not going to do this again. To really feel that. Maybe you will do it again somewhere down the road, but right now, can I convince myself in a real way I'm not going to do it again, and I really mean it. Don't say it and not mean it. Find a way to say it and mean it. And Hashem will certainly invite you in. And he concludes the piece with a very interesting explanation of where we see in the Torah this very idea. That the Yetzirah brings something negative, you know, so to speak, up, and then you're able to what? You're able to be metak in it. You're able to fix it and truly overcome it. Uviyoser ki ha'inyan shekasav biYitzchak, eik shalakach Yaakov habrachos. When we read about the way that Yaakov disguised himself and was able to get the brachos from Yitzchak, who romes hakol ha'yam n'aram. The whole thing is hinting to the yam n'aram experience. How so? The Isav Medrash. Kishomer Yitzchak le'Esav, haveli tzayid. When Yitzchak said to Esav, bring me something to eat, halach le'tzud tzayid, he went to what? He went to trap something. V'chol ov shetzad, v'kasher oso, v'hinicho, v'halach le'tzud acherim, and every bird that he caught, and he tied, and he left it in its place to go trap some more, ba ha'malach v'hitir ha'ov, u'parach lo. Esav would catch something, tie it up, he'd move on to his next location, the Malach would come and untie it and set it free. Fascinating medrash. And while all of this was happening, Yaakov Avinu was able to what? To get the brachos While Esau was struggling to, he couldn't understand. Everything I catch seems to get away. Ukamo kein b'Rosh Hashanah. So similarly on Rosh Hashanah, kishapoyschen asvarim va'omrim lahayetzer letzud tzayid. The Yitzhahara goes out and the Yitzhahara is looking to trap things. What's he looking to trap? He's trying to display our averos. On Rosh Hashanah, when the Sfarim are open, and the Yetzer goes, Latud Tzayed, Ratzalomar, Tzei Uvakesh Maasei V'nei Adam. Come, Yetzirah, come display, show me all the things that people did. Uva'ochu Holech Umechanes Echad Echad. So the Yetzirah shows up and he drops something off and he goes to get another thing. And while the Yetzirah is gone, Ukishamaskir Al Echad Mevi Morach Bolev Adam. As he brings that first of Era back to the forefront of your mind, because it's Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. So all of a sudden you're thinking about, oh yeah, I remember when I did this, I remember when I did that, how did I do that? And it's bothering you and it's making it hard for you to feel connected to Hashem. No, it's an opportunity. The Avera is right in front of you now. Right? Set it free. How do you set it free? When the Yetzirah is trying to trap, like Esav going around trapping, and the Malach is setting them free. What does that mean? It means that when the Yetzirah brings up some of your Averas of the past, right? When the Yetzirah goes on to get something else, take that opportunity, now that the Avera is in your mind again, to be Mahar B'tshuva Alzos. B'lev Shalim, to be Mahar B'tshuva over that Avera. B'zehu Matira Avonu Mechapro. And in that way, you release the Avera, you set it free, and you give it a kapara. And therefore, when the Yetzirah comes back, B'kesh V'lo Matzah, he comes back and he says, hey, what happened to that Avera that's here? That Avera is long gone. We dealt with that. Adrabah. Not only that, the Avera could become even a mitzvah. Nasa lokas chuyos, right? The Yetzirah's, offerings, those Averos, when you do tshuva over them, they become mitzvahs. Uvizen distatmu ta'anosav shel ha-yetzer umekabel ha-odom ha-brachos. And it's in those moments that, so to speak, the Yaakov Avinu, which is every one of us, is able to get the brachos. Okay? So again, some very, very Chazak and beautiful ideas. Just to review for a second. Number one, we learned that on Yom Kippur, because of the great opportunity, there's great opposition. And therefore, it was a miracle that the Kohen Gadol never became Tamei on Yom Kippur. We also learned that the Keri is also Lashon HaMikra, and that a person shouldn't approach Yom Kippur in a haphazard way and just assume, yeah, Yom Kippur, I'll get a lot out of it anyways. So, no, you really need to prepare the way that the Kohen Gadol was thoughtful in all that he did in Yom Kippur. We learned that the eitz, that the firewood on top of the Mizbeach, was never extinguished by the Geshamim, which we said refers to a person having a clear goal of how to serve Hashem, and how the Shnei Gizrei Eitzim, the two beams of wood, represent sort of these two parts of my heart, one to be able to be fully connected to Hashem, and one to be fully concerned with the needs of the people of this world. And then we learned that it's possible for a person to be kafuf, to be standing humbly before Hashem, even if I'm not physically bowed over. And then we learned that a person shouldn't say that my hischabrus is too difficult, because tzarli, the Yetzirah, is ruining my chavero, right, ruining my connection to Hashem. Rather, hamakom sha'alin b'Yerushalayim. With Yira Shalim, a person could find a place to dwell by Hashem. We learned that when a person's love for Hashem is absolute, it's not only good for himself, but it causes a mirror effect, that Hashem's love for the world is also absolute, and that will bring a lot of protection upon the world. And lastly, we learned that there's a certain brazenness that a person has to have to believe that what? That when the Yetzirah tries to present his Averos, especially during the Amun Ra'im, so say to Hashem, you're right, I have these Averos, but I'm here to apologize, and then daven over those Averos, do tshuva, don't become depressed by that, and that's hinted to again in this medrash that Esav was trying to catch things and the Malach kept setting it free. So take the Averos that are presented before you whenever you remember something you did in the past, right? So don't just be too embarrassed to serve Hashem, but use that to inspire you to serve Hashem even more. All right? So, Chevra, these are today's teachings. I hope you enjoyed.